Isruchag Shavuos, Ches Sivan, Tuesday the 14th of June, Rabbi Yitzhak Breitowitz, The Hidden Blessings of Antisemitism. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Brody in the zechus of the forthcoming wedding of Dov Brody and Shiri Weiniger and Ulil Nishmas Rav Yehuda Brody.
Olav Shalom.
Thank you, and I enjoyed the preceding share as well. It's a great pleasure to be here. I live in Yerushalayim, and I intend to be with the JLE for the three-day Yom Tov. I had forgotten what a three-day Yom Tov was, but I had to relearn it. And the topic I wanted to address today is a bit provocative, and that is the blessings of anti-Semitism. And all of us understand, of course, that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of Bechira, when Rishayim do things, they're going to be held accountable. Hitler cannot go to God and say, if you didn't want the Jews to die, you wouldn't have let me do it. And it's fundamental that Rishayim are absolutely accountable for all of the sins and all of the evil they perpetrate, and that includes all of the anti-Semites and the Sonei Yisrael. But at the same time, there is a nakuda, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use the billions of decisions that people make to advance HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own aims in the world. It's kind of like a grandmaster of chess in which all of the moves of the opponents are turned to the advantage of the grandmaster. Hashem uses everything. In other words, it's an amazing thing. Everybody has free will, but Hashem uses those choices. And seen in this light, even the devastating evil that people perpetrate can be co-opted by the Ribono Shel Olam to establish a certain good. And hence the blessings of anti-Semitism. Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, who wrote, we don't have the exact date when he wrote this particular Shtickel Torah, but certainly it was at the very beginning of the 20th century, before World War I. So Hitler was not even known as any type of entity. He was a corporal in the army or whatever it was. He writes that every generation seeks its independence. Jews often want to become like the nations of the world. They want to embrace the cultures of the nations of the world. But he says, the more they try to become like the Goyim, the more the Goyim are going to be used to remind us that we have to be different. And in what is mamish scary words, he says, those people who think Berlin is the new Jerusalem will discover that from Berlin will come a Chorban that will tell Klal Yisrael, you are a Jew, you cannot be one of them. And hence, Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, it was easier to be Jewish in Siberia than suburbia. In Siberia, the Russians didn't let you forget who you were. In suburbia, we can forget, we can assimilate. And the Chasam Sofer says that this is the meaning of the pasuk that we say in the Haggadah from Bikurim, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan the Aramean tried to destroy my father Yaakov, and therefore my father Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. The pashtus of the pasuk is, the Chasam Sofer asks, it's a non sequitur. Yaakov didn't go to Mitzrayim from Lavan's house. He came back to Eretz Yisrael. He was there for many years. Mechiras Yosef. What's the sheiches? Arami Oved Avi v'yeved Mitzrayim. And the Chasam Sofer explains, because the emes is, when Hashem told Avram in the Bris Bein Absarim, Ki ger yiyah zaracha b'yeres lo'lam, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Hashem didn't say it had to be Mitzrayim. It could be any country. So the Chaira, once Yaakov is in Lavan's house, why didn't he just stay there and let the Sheba be Mekoyim there? The answer is, because Lavan would have destroyed us Lagamri. Because Lavan did not come to Yaakov and physically persecute him. When it says Lavan bikesh lakaris akayel, according to Chasam Sofer, it doesn't mean Lavan wanted to physically destroy Yaakov. But it's the other way around. Lavan comes to Yaakov and says, Achim anachnu, we're brothers, be like us, let's work together, let's collaborate. As opposed to Parai, who basically said, you're slaves, we're going to kill your children. The Chasam Sofer says, Arami Oved Avi, being with Lavan would have destroyed Yaakov, would have destroyed Am Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem had to be Mekayim the Golus, Bedafka, in a hostile environment. Because that, the Cholapachas, that's why the Jews didn't change their language. Hagam that they're even in Mitzrayim, we are the 49th level of Tumah. But we didn't change our language, we didn't change our clothing. All of that is because of the Avdus. That's the bracha. The bracha is that the hatred of the nations is the ultimate reminder that we have to be different. Now, on one hand, we're not like the Muslims. On one hand, we are faithful citizens of every country we live in. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that's what Avraham Avinu says, Ger v'teishav, anechi imachem. A teishav is a citizen, a resident. We contribute, dina d'malchus adina. Every place where Jews are, they bring bracha. Even if they're not religious, they bring bracha economically, they bring bracha in art and science. We don't destroy. Dir shu shalom ha'ir. We seek welfare. We are a toshav. But at the same time, we have to be a ger. We have to know we're a stranger. We have to know this is not truly our society. This is not truly our country. We're loyal. We're supportive. We're law-abiding. We eschew violence in all of its forms. But a Jew has to know we are different. We have a different mission. You know, at the beginning of when Napoleon was conquering Europe in the beginning of the 19th century, and he finally turned towards Russia, because that was his big defeat, there was a machlokes among the Hasidish Rebbes in Europe. Should we be mispalel for Napoleon's victory? Or should we be mispalel for the Tsar? Now, the Jews under the Tsar was a miserable, miserable life. Taxation, exorbitant taxes. The Anias was shreklich. The Jews were limited to the Pale of Settlement, and that kept on changing every month. Overnight, people had to, thousands of people had to move. There was, of course, the Cantonists, one of the great tragedies in recent Jewish history, where young boys were taken at a young age, the Cantonists, and they were forcibly drafted into the Russian army. And Rahman al-Islam, sometimes Yidden were kidnappers, they were choppers, they were kidnapped poor children to meet the quotas. Rosalanter once stopped the middle of Yom Kippur service, he stopped Kol Nidrin. And he said, we're not going to go weiter until we raise the money to ransom these children that were kidnapped. So the Chaira, what did Napoleon do? Napoleon promised, and he delivered on this, emancipation, collapse of the ghetto, political and civil rights, Jews could own property, Jews could enter professions. So many thought, let's be mispalel for Napoleon, because there'll be revach v'hatzola, there'll be cheres. But the great Das Yochid that was cholek in that approach was the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadin. And he said, better the Tsar than Napoleon. The Tsar destroys our body, but our neshamas remain intact. With the freedom of Napoleon, Yidden will forget the Torah. They will abandon the Torah. But Kachavi, the emissaries, without getting into all of the nuances of modern history, but the Haskalah, the Reform, many, many groupings in Judaism that broke away in many ways. Haskalah is complicated because there were religious maskilim as well, but many were not, were really a consequence of the newly found freedoms that came after the French Revolution and then Napoleon a little later on. So freedom is, of course, a blessing because it gives us opportunity, and we are very, very grateful to be living in a free society, whether it's United Kingdom here, whether it's the United States, whether it's the State of Israel, which has its own special chashivas. But we have to recognize that sometimes we need the anti-Semites of the world to remind us of what we are in danger of forgetting. And that is what Bilam says. Bilam, who of course was one of the first anti-Semites, and Bilam's curses were turned to a bracha. Bilam said, Hein am levadad yishkein. The Jewish people are a nation that dwells alone. A sense of indifference. And that is actually Bilam's bracha. Hashem turned the curse into a bracha that in order for Klal Yisrael to flourish, there has to be a sense of levadat. You know, when Theodor Herzl more or less started the, what we'll call political Zionism, there were religious Zionism, still is, but the political Zionism of the 19th century, And again, I'm not here to insult Herzl, because I believe, you know, his intentions were good. He had no Jewish background whatsoever. But Herzl had a cheshbon. Herzl saw the rampant anti-Semitism. This is in pre-Holocaust Europe. He saw the fake trial of Alfred Dreyfus. And he couldn't believe that how in modern society, progressive societies, there was still such a hatred of the Jew. So Herzl developed a theory that the reason why the Jews were hated is because they were not like the other nations. But if they'd have their own land, their own army, they would be like Germany, they would be like France, they would be like England. Then the Goyim will like us because we will be like them. Okay, there's even a quote that's attributed, I'm not sure it's either Bialik or it's, or some say Ben-Gurion, I'm sure I can trace it, that we will not have made it as a nation till we have our own bank robbers and thieves. Well, Hashem, I guess we've made it in that way. And then, you know, then we are a nation. Herzl said, normalization is the key to getting rid of the hatred of the Yumos HaOlam. I think the one thing we've discovered is that normalization has the opposite effect, as the Meshech Chachma predicted. That in point of fact, the more we try to normalize and assimilate, the more the hatred is going to be against us. And with respect to the state of Israel, and all of you know, I know there's a big vote coming up about Britain leaving the European Union. All of us know, if we ask ourselves, as grateful as we are for the state of Israel, and as wonderful as our connection to Eretz Yisrael is, and as holy as it is, but if we ask the question, did the state of Israel take away anti-Semitism in the world? The answer has to be, it did not. It did not at all. You know yourself and the environment that's in Europe, how horrendous the anti-Semitism is, how much the hatred is, because once again, when we want to be niyeh kechol ha-goyim, there will be people in the world who will remind us, and they are shaluchim of God. Now, they're not going to get reward for that. They're not acting l'shem shemayim. They're acting out of their own bechira. They're acting for sinful, immoral purposes. But Hashem employs even the Russia to teach us what we need to learn. Now, the emes is, how do we respond to the idea of the Umos HaOlam, etc.? How do we respond? So the emes is, Chazal tell us that before Rav Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe, used to meet with the Romans. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, but he was also the political leader of the Jewish community. He and the Chachamim would always learn Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov's encounter with Esav is kind of the prototype for how we relate to the Umos HaOlam. And there's a very famous Chazal, Rashi brings it, that Yaakov Avinu took three steps to be involved in this encounter with Esav. Step number one, he sent gifts to Esav. Step number two is he prepared for war, if that becomes necessary. And step number three, which is the key to everything, is he was mispalo. He prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya. B'derech drush, one might say, that these three steps encapsulate how we relate to the cultures that surround us. Gift-giving is kind of a form of embrace. And that's indicating that just as Chazal say, there is chachma b'goyim tamim, there is wisdom, there is insight. Rav Shimshon Frol Hirsch, Torium Derech Eretz, there are lessons that we can get from the culture. We're not supposed to reject everything. Milchama is the opposite idea, that there is much in modern society that is degenerate, that is corrupt, that is corrosive, that we have to reject. So you see by the two mahalchim, I'll get to the third in a moment, that an all-or-nothing approach is wrong on both sides. To totally embrace what is out there is absolutely wrong. But to totally reject is also not good. Although if you had to make a choice between total acceptance and total rejection is probably better than total acceptance. I agree with that. But it is not optimal. A person has to know that there is what to embrace, and there is what to wage unrelenting war. And the key to how to make that difference, because that's much harder. It's always easier to follow one extreme or the other extreme. But balance, harmony, what do you allow in your home on an individual basis? What don't you allow? What type of school environment are you looking for? That's very difficult. What to be mekarev, what to be merachek? The key to that is tefillah, siyata dishmaya. Because, you know, just last night we said in Shimon Esrei, actually I did not say it the night before, but you say atochan antonu. And Havdalah, the Havdalah of Maitzi Shabbos and Maitzi Yom Tov, is always in the bracha of Atachayne. And the Gemara in bracha says, why is Havdalah in the fourth bracha? Imein das Havdalah minayin. In order to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chayil. It's not a mechanical, automatic process. A person needs wisdom, understanding, discernment. What is good? What is bad? How do I separate? How do I differentiate? And that is the bracha of Das and Bina and Seicha. And through Tefillah, Hashem gives us that Chochmah. And therefore, it's a very, very subtle process. The concept of what to embrace, what to be merachek. You see from Yaakov Avinu, a person has to try to do both. But in this sense, let me go weiter in the parsha of Yaakov. The night before he meets Esav, Yaakov meets the Esav of the spirit before he meets Esav of the flesh. He fights with a mysterious man, who's an angelic figure. And they're struggling the whole night, and sometimes Yaakov's on top, sometimes the man is on top. In the morning, Yaakov is finally victorious, but he's limping. And the Sefer HaChinuch says very beautifully that the night is a remez to the long golus that the Jewish people will be undergoing. And in that golus, there will be enemies that will try to destroy us physically or spiritually. But Hashem promises that after that long night, there's going to be a dawn. And the very enemies that try to destroy us will give us a bracha. But the sad news is, we're not going to emerge unscathed. The golus is going to take a terrible, terrible toll, just as Yaakov was limping. The Klal Yisrael that survives when the Geula comes will be limping, will be decimated, will be demoralized in some way until the Besoras HaGeula reassures them. But once again, the message of the Parsha, the Sefer HaChinuch says, is that after the night will come the light. And every time we don't eat the Gid Hanasha, so we remember Yaakov's thigh being dislocated, it is part of remembering that there will be a Geula, no matter how difficult things are. Chafetz Chaim has two very interesting horrors. One horror is, he says, why does the angel of Esav only attack Yaakov? Why don't we have a similar struggle with Avram and Yitzchak? That it wouldn't be Esav, but it would be the Kayach HaTuma, the Yetzer Hara. And the Chafetz Chaim said, we know Pirkei Avos tells us, Al Shleisha Devarim Ha'ilam Ha'imeh, the world stands on three pillars, Al HaTaira, V'Al HaAvayda, V'Al Gemilas Chasadim. And we know that Avram Avinu represents Gemilas Chasadim. And Yitzchak represents Avaida, he was a Korban. Yaakov Avinu, who spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem V'Ever without sleeping, is the Kayach HaTaira. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the Yetzer Hara is perfectly willing to let Yidden do mitzvahs if it's only going to be a short-term Hatzlacha and will eventually disintegrate. The Yetzer Hara looks at things in the long term, not in the short term. So says the Chafetz Chaim, let the Yidden do Gemilas Chasadim without Torah. Let them create social welfare institutions, hospitals, cemeteries, Landschaften, you know, for landsmen. Because after a few generations, their descendants will not be Jewish. Let them do Avodah, let them build magnificent shuls. I don't know how it is here in this country. In the United States, if you go to the inner cities, of all major cities, you will see magnificent synagogues with stained glass windows and carvings of the Aseres HaDibros in the stone. And they are all churches today. Jews don't even live there anymore. It was taken over. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the Kayach HaTuma did not attack Avram, did not attack Yitzchak, because Chesed without Torah is not going to have a Kiyum. Avaida without Torah is not going to have a kiyum. But Yaakov, who brings in the Koach HaTorah, that has eternity, that has Nitzchias. So yes, Avada, a Jew, has to have all three pillars. Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. But Torah, properly learned, will bring you to the other two. The other two will not bring you to Torah. And there will not be continuity. At least, again, I'm more familiar with the United States than here, but I imagine a very similar development. That the true flourishing of religious communities did not occur until Chinuch was widely available. Without Torah Chinuch, even if parents are religious and they keep mitzvahs, it's not going to go over to the next generation. Maybe it'll be gastronomic Judaism, bagels, cheesecake. And then maybe even then they stop doing that. They go to sushi, they go to other things as well, Chinese. So that's the Chafetz Chaim's first Torah. But then he has a second Torah. The second Torah is that the Yetzer Hara, the Kayach Hatuma, the Sarah Shalesev wanted to destroy Torah, but he was not successful. Because there will always be Yidden that will learn Torah with Mesiras Nefesh, with Anias, with Tachas. But what was his success? Yaakov was limping. The thigh was dislocated. The Zohar HaKadosh says the thigh represents the support, just like the thigh supports the body. So the victory of Esav was weakening the tamchei d'oraisa, the support of Torah. That there's a klala in the world. That the support of Torah will always be precarious and weak. Ad kedei kach, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, any maisa that does not have financial problems, one must question whether it is authentically a religious vehicle. So, Baruch Hashem, I can speak for my own yeshiva that you can rely that it's very, very kosher in that way. Now, that doesn't mean someone comes to you for tzedakah and you say, I'm sorry, you were cursed, I'm not supposed to give. I mean, that's like, the Christian theologians used to say in the 19th century, they didn't want women to have anesthesia for childbirth because it was the curse of Chava that she has to suffer. Avada, that's not the, I mean, the curse is, that's the teva of the island, but we are mechuyev to be miskaber over the teva in good ways. But finally, I just want to end with yet another hemshech of this. This is not from the Chafetz Chaim, this is from a Bleib Chasman. Beit Mashgiach of Chevron. That is, before Yaakov sends before the angel leaves, Yaakov asks the angel, Hagidu li mashemecha, tell me your name. And the angel says, Lama zeh tishal lishmi, why are you asking my name? Rashi explains that the angel actually says, I don't have a regular name, my name depends on my mission. Sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm this. I don't have a name. Rav Leib Chasman wants to learn a different pshat. Rav Leib Chasman wants to learn that the angel's name is, don't ask my name. That's a name. The name is, don't ask my name. What type of name is, don't ask my name? It's not much of a name. It resembles an old Abbott and Costello routine, who's on first. So Rav Leib Chasman gives the following mashal. There was a Polish farmer who was coming to the big city for the first time. And he was told if he bought a ticket and he sat in a dark room, this was a movie theater, he would see people and animals coming out of the wall as if a door materialized out of nowhere. He didn't understand it. He buys his ticket. He sits in this dark room. And all of a sudden, people are walking towards him. He didn't understand what's going on. He walked by the wall. When he entered, there was no door. So he pulled out his big, powerful flashlight that he had bought. And he shone it on the wall to see if there's some door or there's some entrance. But what happens, of course, if you shine a bright light on the dark wall of a movie screen? You can no longer see the picture. The picture disappears. So people yelled at him. And they said to him, turn off the light. We only see the movie when it's dark. Rav Leib Chasman said, this is a mashal for Eilam Hazeh. When we sit in darkness and we don't think about the purpose of our life, then all sorts of things that are not real, like the movie, look like they're real. Whether it's money, whether it's covered, whether it's the grudges that we have against people. We think they're so real because we're sitting in darkness. And Lehepach, When you're sitting in the dark, there might be a bag of diamonds on the next seat that you're not going to notice. So darkness does two things. Darkness makes you think that certain things that are not real are real. And the other way around, it obscures your ability to see things that are real. When you turn on the lights, you realize that what you thought was so important is an illusion. And you can see the diamonds next to you. Reb Leib Chassman says, when Yaakov Avinu asks the angel, tell me your name, he's really asking the Yetzer Hara, because the Sora Shalesev is identified with the Yetzer Hara and the Satan. What is your power over people? How do you entice people to sin? Because a name is a power. That even at a bris milah, the Arizal says that the name we give a child is a nevuah from Hashem as to what that child's power spiritually is going to be. So Yaakov says, how do you entice people? It doesn't make sense. There's no benefit in Averis. And the answer is, I entice people because nobody bothers to ask my name. Nobody thinks about me. They're in darkness. When they're in darkness, they're fooled. Anti-Semitism is one of the mechanisms that HaKadosh Baruch Hu employs to turn on the lights, to make us realize, as I said already, that we have to be unique, we have to be distinct, that we have a mission. I also want to say, too, that even the lies of anti-Semites have a certain mussar for us. You know, one of the big issues in the world is the ridiculous double standard that is applied, let's say, against the state of Israel, in which you have countries that literally massacre tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of their own citizens. And they sit in judgment if by accident the IDF might kill a Palestinian civilian. And that is regrettable, and the IDF itself regrets it. It is the most moral army in the world. But what is this double standard? And it's unfair, it's unjust. People who are many, many, many times more evil than anything the Jewish people do are sitting in judgment on the Jews. That's an awful thing. But even in that, there's a message. They may not have a right to impose a double standard on us, but we have to impose a double standard on us. Meaning to say, it's not enough to say the Goyim are worse. It's not enough to say that we don't do all the bad things that others do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we have to live lives of Kedusha, lives of goodness, lives of greatness. So when I hear the double standard hypocrisy of the Umos HaOlam, it is a mussar for me as well that I have to strive to be better. And even the statement, oh, the Jews control the world, they control the banking, they control the, right, all of those things. Well, what is that telling me indirectly? That we do have the power to change the world for the better. That the mitzvos and the masim tovim that we do change the world. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that the tznius, the fashions of Paris, can be affected by the learning in Radin. Just like an atom bomb, you have waves of radiation. So by the time it gets to Paris, people aren't going to be learning 15 hours a day. But the chalapachos, the dress might be a half an inch longer. And therefore, David HaMelech said, "May oyvai tach kimeni," which is interpreted to mean, I can learn from my enemies as well. From the hateful, false lies that they say, there are nuggets of mussar that I still incorporate. Baruch Hashem, we've been through the holiday of Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah, and the Meforshim point out that Shavuos is called the Zman Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. It is not called the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, because Matan Torah is what Hashem did on a certain day. Kabbalah HaTorah is what we have to do every single day. We have the gift of Torah that Hashem put into the world. It's up to us every single day, to be makabel Hashem's Torah with love and with commitment. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us all have the siyata d'shmaya to be makabel Torah b'yam.